So yeah, I'm Jake, if you guys don't know who I am. And as Pastor Greg said, I've been at every single one of these, which I think this is year 8. That's crazy to me. And what else is crazy is they go faster and faster. Like, how am I already speaking? Like, how is this the last day? I don't understand it. But this camp has had such a direct impact on my life and my family's life, because if it wasn't for this camp, we wouldn't be living in Tulsa right now. And then I wouldn't be here. So, like, this camp can do a whole lot. It, through the course of 8 years, it got my family to uproot and move to Tulsa because of how much we felt God's presence down here and how much we love you guys. So I just want to say that for all of my graduating seniors, I'm not going to make you stand up or anything, but I just want you to know that, like, because you've been here, the graduating seniors have been here for, like, the whole time, too, if I'm not mistaken, and this camp has had to have an impact on you one way or the other. Probably didn't make you uproot and move to Tulsa because you already live down here, but you guys are next in terms of, you guys are going to be leaders here soon, so I appreciate you guys, and enjoy your last little bit of camp that you have left as a camper. So, I don't know if you guys can see my hat, but I'm a law student at TU in Tulsa, and that's a pretty wild story of how that happened, because one day I was in college, my undergrad in South Dakota, praying what to do with my life, and the Lord was like, I want you to go to law school. I want you to go be my lawyer. And I'm like, okay, that sounds cool, but don't really know what that means, but let's go for it. And then I'm like, well, where do you want me to go to school? And he's like, I want you to go to Tulsa. And I'm like, I don't even think there's a law school in Tulsa, but let's see what happens. And then I found out that University of Tulsa has a law school, and I applied without looking at anything and got in. So that's not how you should go about looking for schools, unless God tells you to do it that way. But anyway, whole reason I got there is this summer I've had the pleasure of interning for some federal judges down in Muskogee. And I just ought to give a shout out to my boys, Judge White and Judge Jackson, for letting me be here, because federal judges, I mean, they call the shots. So if they were like, you can't go to this camp, well then, I probably just wouldn't be working there anymore because I would have came anyway. But so at the courthouse this summer, we see a lot of super wild things. Like, this, literally this past week, I had to deal with a case about a guy who got arrested because he was illegally looking for buried treasure. Yeah. Like, personally, I didn't know that was illegal because it's buried treasure. Like, you just dig it up. I don't know what's illegal about that. But, and this case proved the point to me about how complicated the law is. Because we're sitting in court, and, I mean, it sounds straightforward. This guy is illegally searching for buried treasure. But nothing in the law is straightforward. Because first, we have to say, all right, he's illegally looking for buried treasure. What's the definition of buried treasure? What is the legal definition? So we have to, in court, find the legal definition, which is precious gold, silver, and other gems. So then we have to apply it to this guy, and we're like, is this what you were searching for? And obviously he's going to be like, well, no, that's not what I was searching for, God, let me go. And then we have to figure out, how was this searching for buried treasure illegal when other ones were not? So you just go down the rabbit hole with definitions, different exceptions, and you know what? It's hard. Like, that's why lawyers make the big money. But so as I've been in the legal system now for about a year, and I've been reading my Bible, I think one thing that's been made abundantly clear to me is how good of a lawyer God is. Because in our legal system, and in my opinion, we have the best legal system in the world, but literally everything is so many exceptions. So, like, I can never give you a straightforward answer. Like, day one of law school, literally I am trained. If you ask me a legal question, I have to say it depends. I don't know. Like, you gotta give me more. You gotta give me definitions. I mean, it's hard. And as I've been reading the Bible, God is the definition of straightforward. Because with him, if you miss the mark at all, you're done. I mean, that's straightforward. If you miss perfection whatsoever, your penalty is death. Which, I mean, that's a pretty rough go at it, but at least you know what you're dealing with. Like, it's not, we don't need to find the exceptions and definitions. So, like, I don't know about you guys, but I've screwed up. So, I'm the first on the list to be given death. But what's pretty cool is through God's straightforwardness, he also, in the Bible, gave us an inheritance. And as my mom talked about yesterday, inheritance in, like, will law is, like, the most straightforward type of law there is. Because, like, if I say I want to give my mom $20 when I die, and then I die, it is super hard to contest that because it's on the record of me saying that's what she gets. So, like, no one else can come in and be like, that's my $20, Buffy. No, that's just stupid. That's not going to work. And the whole reason there's an inheritance for us is because of the super straightforward way Jesus paved the way. And I have to give, I just have to give the legal significance of this because I just have to. So here, who here knows that it is illegal for sickness to be in your body? It is illegal for anything negative, darkness, depression, to be in your body. And I've been praying about that, and the reason is, when Jesus died for us, he literally took every single dark thing inside of him, and he was perfect. And because he was perfect, all of hell that went inside of him broke the law going inside of him. So then when Jesus rose from the dead, all of hell is like, shoot, we're going to be judged now, and we don't really know what the protocol is for this. And so Jesus comes up, and he was like, you know what? Not only do I want to raise myself from the dead, not only do I want everyone who believes in me to spend eternal life with me, but I want everyone on earth to live as I live right now, on earth as it is in heaven. And so yeah, darkness doesn't have any authority here because Jesus took it from them. So when you hear darkness chirping at you, just tell it, Dodd, you have no authority here. You broke the law. That was your choice, darkness. Like, be gone. And I have a verse, I think, about being, yeah, Romans 8, let's find it in here, 16 and 17. Or is it 5? No, it's 8. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we also share in his suffering. So, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty straightforward that we're heirs with Christ. And to be an heir means you get an inheritance. And, I mean, part of there's lots of inheritances we get from God. I mean, like this, if you want to know your legal rights and what you get from being a child of God, I mean, just read this. It's all in there, like everything. But yeah, so like some of the stuff that we get is, as he is, so are we in this world, which means sickness is not supposed to be with us. We shouldn't have to be depressed because Jesus is not. As he was perfect, so are we right now in this world. And another thing that I just absolutely love as the inheritance is in John 14, 12 through 14, I believe. Or is it John? Yeah. John 14, 12 through 14. And this is Jesus saying, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Once again, from a legal perspective, that's pretty straightforward. I mean, it says greater things we will do, I mean, than Jesus. And Jesus did some pretty wild things. I mean, the dude walked on water. The dude turned water into wine. I mean, just insane things. Like, dude walked through walls. Like, that's just, I don't understand it. And the segue to my next point is, he says there, you ask for anything in my name, and I'll do it. So, I've been also thinking, I'm like, all right, we have this inheritance. How do I claim it? How do I bring it to fruition in my life? Like, how do we make it? How do I get from reading greater things I will do, ask anything in my name and it'll happen, to right here? And I believe it is through speaking it out loud. Because if you go to Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. I mean, that's a pretty straightforward Bible verse. I mean, everyone knows creation, let there be light. But I think it's, I haven't thought about it this way in like forever. God did everything through speaking. He created literally everything with his voice, just by proclaiming and demanding that it come to fruition. And if you look at Isaiah 54:17, I'm just going to read this. But in the coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. So, if you looked at that, it shows that we're going to have voices coming against us to accuse us, which means we speak against them to silence them. So, and then one more, Proverbs 18:21. Which is just death and life is in the power of the tongue. Which, literally, once again, straightforward, what you're speaking, that's what's going to happen. So if you're speaking, I am healed. There is no place for sickness. There is no room for depression in my life. Sooner or later, it's going to have to go. And I can promise you, any promise, any of the inheritance that God has given us, you can take that to the bank. Like, no matter what, God is going to stay true to his word because, I mean, he's all good. and he's our father. Like, if my dad told me he was going to give me something and he had the power to give me something, he would do it because he's a good father. If he didn't do it, he's just a bad dad, which Bruce Johnson is not a bad father. But sometimes how and when you receive the end inheritance is a little messy, and it may not just be a boom, boom thing. So I'd like to tell you the story of Joseph in Genesis. And I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this because it's a lot of, it's a long story, and I don't want to read 6 chapters to you guys. Nobody wants that. So I'm going to be starting in Genesis 37. So if you guys at any point want to read the story of Joseph, start in Genesis 37. So Joseph was the youngest of 12. And he was his father's favorite kid. His father was Jacob. And so the way the structure of how everything worked back then in those times was the head firstborn son got the inheritance. That's just the way it was. And if you don't like it, tough. That's just the way it was. And so when Jacob was showing favoritism to his 12th youngest son, I mean, out of fairness, the older sons were like, what the heck is going on? Like, this is stupid. And, I mean, I feel for him. Like, Jacob had the other sons go work in the field while Joseph was being trained on scripture and just living the high life. And so Joseph was a little arrogant to his older brothers, which is fair. I mean, how do you not be a little arrogant to your older brothers when you're the favorite? I mean, I would be. Siri's the favorite in our family, and she lets everyone else know it. So I can't imagine if, yeah, you're the youngest. But anyway, in all that to set up in Genesis 37:7, Joseph had a dream. And another thing, God can definitely speak to you and communicate to you and give you promises in your dreams. That's what this is going to be. So you can take these to the bank too. So Joseph had a dream that him and his brothers were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly his bundle stood up. I'm going to restart this. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed before me. His brothers did not like that. Once again, they're like, this kid's being a little cocky. That would make me mad. And Joseph takes it a step further. He's like, I have another dream. And in that dream, the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed before me. You know, I don't know why Joseph told his brothers this. Like, if I had that dream, I'm not telling it to the people that it would make mad. Like, to me, it seems like he's saying it to rub it in their faces. Like, I'm the chosen one. Look at me. Look how awesome I am. And his brothers hated that. They actually wanted to kill him. And so later on, Joseph went out to the field to see his brothers. I'm sure to make them mad. And they threw him down into a ditch. And they sold him into slavery. That's a wild concept. Like, I've been pretty mad at my siblings. I've never been sell them into slavery mad at them. That's next level petty, in my opinion. Like, geez. But, so I'm sure when Joseph was sold into slavery, he's like, well, I'm done. This is how it ends for me, I guess. And that's not how it ended for him. So Joseph ended up being sold to the captain of Pharaoh's guard, which that's not a nobody. And my man Joseph just started grinding for this man. And God blessed him, and he eventually became like the head servant in this man Potiphar's household. And I'm sure Joseph was like, well, I made the worst out of a bad situation. I'm at least now in charge of this man's household, so it's not like I'm getting the whip, probably, I wouldn't think. And he's probably a little bit like, all right, this is how it ends. But Potiphar's wife, she thought Joseph was cute, to say the least. And she wanted to sleep with Joseph and do extracurricular activities with him. And so she went up to Joseph repeatedly, day after day. She's like, Joseph, I want to sleep with you. And I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'd be willing to bet Potiphar's wife was a very attractive woman, because she had influence, she had all the money and resources, so she probably smelled nice, had the beautiful clothes on, and so this is what Joseph says when she approaches him. I think it's Genesis 39:8. But Joseph refused. Look, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. So, I mean, Joseph's a real one. Like, he's the one you want riding with you, because he refused to go against Potiphar there. And in my opinion, a huge thing, too, is he says it would be a great sin against God. If I'm Joseph, I don't know how I'm not mad at God that I'm sold into slavery after he gave me this vision of being elevated above my older brothers. So the fact that Joseph is still, like, serving the Lord when he's in, like, quote-unquote hell, that speaks wonders. So, obviously, Potiphar's wife does not like that Joseph rejected her. So she accuses him of rape, and Potiphar throws Joseph into prison. And not only was he thrown into prison, he was thrown into, like, the dungeon of prison. That is not where you want to be. Like, it's dark and sketchy and probably unsanitary and every bad thing. You just don't want to be there. And Joseph prospered there. He found favor with the head jailer. And the jailer had Joseph running the jail, essentially, which is insane. Like, that's still God making the most out of a really, really bad situation. God still blessed Joseph. So, sometime later, there's two men that get thrown into the prison. One of them is Pharaoh's wine dude. He makes the wine for Pharaoh. And then the other one is the baker for Pharaoh. And they both had dreams, and they were all sketched out by the dreams they had. And Joseph was like, look, I'm going to interpret this for you. So I'm going to start reading in Genesis 40, verse 8. And they replied, we both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. Interpreting dreams is God's business, Joseph replied. Go ahead and tell me them. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream first. In my dream, I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had three branches that began to bud and blossom, and soon it produced clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took a cluster of grapes and squeezed juice into the cup. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. This is what the dream means, Joseph said. The three branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as his chief cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did not deserve it. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given the first dream such a positive interpretation, he said to Joseph, I had a dream too. In my dream, there were three baskets of white pastries stacked on my head. The top basket contained all kinds of pastries for Pharaoh, but the birds came and ate them from the basket on my head. This is what the dream means, Joseph told them. The three baskets represent 3 days. 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift you up and impale your body on a pole. Then the birds will come and peck away your flesh. Oofta. That's a rough interpretation. So anyway, all of that comes to pass. The wine dude gets to go back to the palace, and the bread dude gets executed. And Joseph gets, he's still in prison. And at this point, I'm sure Joseph, when he's still in prison after all of this, was thinking, I'm going to stay here for the rest of my life. And I bet you, there's no way he couldn't have had some serious arguments with God saying, you gave me this dream literally in the exact opposite place right now in the very pits of a dungeon. So we're gonna put the Joseph story on a shelf right now, take a little bit of a detour. I think it's very easy for us to feel like we are Joseph in the dungeon. Like, that I am alone here by myself, God's not going to come save me, and that's just the way it is. And a lot of us leaving church camp, we're going to have to go to unfavorable places, and maybe places we don't want to go, maybe bad circumstances, and just dark places. And I believe the way to get out of some of these dark places is shining light on them and speaking them, because the enemy doesn't want to be out in the open. So I'm about to share my deep, dark place that I'm stuck at right now with you guys. And I gotta give the preface that there'll be some pretty wild stories in this. There are no exaggerations at all. No, I'm telling you like it is, because I believe everything the Lord does, he does not need me to change it for him to make it bitter. If he wanted it to be bitter or different, he would have done it different. So, for the last 2 years, I have been really struggling with my health. And, like, this is not the type of, like, oh, my back hurts type of health. This is an autoimmune disease where I have ulcers in my intestines. So it makes eating hell for me. It hurts so bad to eat, to drink. So I have no energy. I got nothing to give at all. The fact that I'm standing here speaking proves that God filled me up to share with you guys, because I got nothing. I have nothing. I'll probably, like, go die after this. And but the worst part is I don't have control over my my poop movement at all. So at any given point, I could crap my pants. Yeah, it's gross. It sucks. And you can only imagine as this upcoming law student not being in control of that basic function. And I've had the privilege of having to sit down with the head dean of my law school telling her I need more time in classes and I just need to be able to leave classes because I might crap my pants. And that's just tough. Like, it's a humiliating place to be in. But as I've been in this dark place, like Joseph, God still prospered me. He still used me. I mean, I don't know how. I'm one of the top students at my law school right now. And all the head honcho law people are like, Jake, what do you want to do with your law career? Do you want to be a judge? Do you want to be a politician? Do you just want to go be a bougie lawyer and have a nice office and make all the money? And I always give them an answer, but my true answer is I just want to be free. I want to be healed. I don't want to live like this anymore. So, long story short, this past winter, I was praying to God, like, angrily, like, get me out of this place. And he revealed to me that there was a serpent in my intestines wrapping itself around and, like, what is it, a constrictor? Just killing me. And literally, and I didn't tell anybody this, literally that same day, I got a text from Pastor Sherry telling me the same thing without us talking. And my mom had the same vision that same day without any of us talking. So, being what we do, we talked about it. And we ended up talking about it to Miss Vicky. And she was like, well, that's a demon. We just got to get that out of you and we'll be good. And it's like, great. We've got that inside me. That's fun. So, the first, Vicky would end up coming a couple times to get this demon out of me. And first time we did this, we sat down, and Miss Vicky's like, Jade, I need you to go through the times when you were a kid, when you were younger, and you had traumatic events. And when you had those traumatic events, I need you to forgive the people who harmed you. And I'm sitting there like, all right, I can do this. Let's do it. But I was also like, this doesn't seem very like getting a snake out of me. You know what I mean? So, but we did not get the snake out of me the first time. And in fairness, we didn't try to get it out of me the first time. So we were just healing past traumas, forgiving people. Second time rolls around. And Miss Vicky asks my mom, she's like, hey, Buffy, do you have a barf bucket for Jake when we pull this thing out of him? Because he's going to puke. And so we got it. And we started praying over me, casting this demon out. And I kid you not, my stomach started moving as if there was a snake inside of it. Like, I can't make the motion because it wasn't me doing it. And I did not have control over my body. I was at peace the whole time. I was partaking and casting this demon out of myself. So it was a very peaceful experience for me, but you wouldn't think so. And I was punching and kicking, and I was stuck on the couch, and it was weird. But we ended up getting Pastor Greg and my dad, too, to help get this thing out. And eventually, Vicky pulls it out of my mouth, and I, like, come off the couch as if something was being pulled out of my mouth, and I puked a little bit. And So I believe right then and there, this was a couple months ago, that the Lord healed me. That when we got that out, that was the darkness that needed to leave. That there we go. And I believe I'm healed right now. But we have yet to see the true manifestation of my healing. So I'm still struggling with everything I just said. Poop too. And it's sucked. And there's a lot of times where I feel like I'm like Joseph. I'm stuck here in this prison, and I guess God forgot about me. But that's not how the story of Joseph ends. Joseph doesn't end up dying in that prison. What ends up happening for Joseph is the Pharaoh has a dream that he needs to help interpret, and the only person they could think of to interpret the dream was Joseph. So they pulled Joseph from the depths of prison, and Pharaoh ends up making Joseph the number two in command in all of Egypt. And he has Joseph do what he said to do to help bring the dream to fruition. And what ends up happening is his brothers have to come to Egypt to get food from him because there's a, what is it called? A famine. Thank you, whoever said that. And so they had to come directly to Joseph, and they didn't recognize it was Joseph. And all 11 of them had to bow before him. And they were bowing before him over wheat. There's the dream to fruition right there. And so then, long story short, Joseph ends up reuniting with his brothers, happy ending, everyone lives. But I'd be willing to bet Joseph, when he was in the depths of prison, did not think that is how that dream is going to play out. I'd be willing to bet as soon as he got sold into slavery that dream was gone. And part of the beauty of your inheritance is that is the process that God puts you, goes with you through to receive it. Because I'd be willing to bet if Joseph knew everything that was going to happen to him to receive that dream, he may not have wanted to go for it. He may have just been like, nah, let's put that over here. But because Joseph never gave up on the Lord never gave up on Joseph either. And if you feel like you're going to give up on the Lord won't give up on you anyway because he doesn't lose. So I'm standing on, even though I'm in this prison right now with my health, some point or another this manifestation is going to happen and I will actually watch out the healing. At some point, I'll be free again. And that goes for all of you too who are dealing with darkness. You may feel like you're in the darkness. That might just be the prison that God's using to pull you up and put you to the next level. And you just got to believe that because I like having hope. I'd rather hope than not hope. And so, yeah, I'm standing on that. At some point, God's going to pull me up, and I'll get my second-in-command to Pharaoh happy ending. Today, yeah. So I just want to encourage you guys, receive your inheritance. Walk it out. Speak it out. You have way more power than you think you do. So I'll pray us out. Father God, just thank you so much for this camp. Thank you so much just for everyone being here and all the love that has gone around. And I just pray that you just reveal to everyone who they are in you, Father. I pray that you give people the boldness to speak out against the prisons that they are in. And I pray that you will make good on our inheritance and pull us out. Thank you. Amen.